Welcome to the January 10th, 2022 episode of Si Vis Pacem, Parabellum. My name is Rob Adams. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I am a retired United States Navy Chief Petty Officer, and my oath of enlistment will expire when I do. I am an American, a patriot, and an activist. I am neither a Republican nor a Democrat. There's no political party that dictates my vote nor my thinking. I reserve the right to think for myself. I believe in the saying, in God I trust, in all others, verify. As my dad taught me, don't believe everything you hear and only half of what you read. I do not trust anyone that expects me to believe them simply because they have said something and/or they have a bunch of letters behind their name. You can have multiple PhDs and still be a frickin' idiot. If you're a politician or some government official, I trust you even less. I am more apt to trust someone that provides references to their source material, unless, of course, the facts being stated are blatantly obvious, you know, sky's blue, water's wet, fire hot, or that at least challenges me to check their facts. I believe in critical thinking, not critical race. I believe our rights are given to us by God, not by the government. Though historically the governments try to limit or take those God-given rights away. They level us down to we're asking for permission instead of giving us freedom. Si Vis Pacem, Parabellum is a Latin adage that means if you want peace, prepare for war. This implies that a society that is prepared for war is less likely to be attacked. This was the Founding Fathers' intention behind the Second Amendment. I'm not making that up. Read the Federalist Papers. They believed that a well-armed citizenry is the best defense against a tyrannical government. Okay. Episode number 4. This is part 2 of the Damn Plan Scamdemic. In the last episode, I gave a very cursory look at the facts that the COVID pandemic is nowhere as near as bad as the mainly socialist, I mean mainstream media, and politicians have made it out to be. This is confirmed even more with the fear-mongering going on regarding this Omicron variant. We're being told by Fauci and the experts to expect 15,000 deaths per week because of this new variant, when the facts coming out of Africa, where the variant was first identified, has reported that cases of COVID are declining and no one has died from the Omicron variant. There were early on 2 deaths reported from Omicron. Well, then it was verified by independent reporters after contacting the hospitals where these 2 patients allegedly died. And the hospitals themselves, as well as the health agency in the UK, said, no one's died of any variant of COVID on that day. So, no one actually died from COVID, much less Omicron. Historically, without variants, if you understand anything about viruses, as a virus mutates, it will become more contagious, but less lethal. Okay? A virus may come out like gangbusters, wiping out gazillions of people, which COVID did not. But a virus, like anything else, wants to live. And I'm not trying to assign any intelligence to a virus. I don't know if they have a brain or not. I am not God. But a virus, when it mutates, it is going to become less and less deadly. Because how is it going to survive if it continues to kill off all its hosts? Okay, think about it. Look historically, go back and look at viruses. All right. Yet they, whoever they are, I'm trying to keep my political views out of the facts, want us to be afraid. Mayors shutting cities down again. This brings me to the point of part 2 of the Damn Plan Scamdemic. The jab. These shots that they are pawning off as vaccines up until fall of 2021 were not considered vaccines. They were gene therapies. Before, I forget what month it was, last fall, they had to go and change the definition of a vaccine so that these shots could be called vaccines. Up until then, they could not legally be called vaccines. So they had to change the definition. If you haven't noticed that happening here lately, in the last 2 years, they just randomly changed definitions to meet their narrative. Well, the commercials on TV are telling everyone that this jab is safe and effective. The gaslighting from the government and mainstream media touting the jab as FDA approved, it's not, by the way. Comirnaty obtained the approval, yet it's not even being distributed. You can't get Comirnaty in the United States. They're passing the Pfizer shot off as being approved. Okay, the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, if you actually get, I believe it was a 9-page letter from the FDA approving Comirnaty, they were saying that Comirnaty and the Pfizer-BioNTech were similar, but there's enough of a difference to make a legal distinction between the two. Well, a judge has stated in a case brought against the Department of Defense that the Pfizer jab and Comirnaty cannot be used interchangeably. It is my intent in this podcast to provide facts that show that all these statements are lies. I'm going to also provide facts that, with the application of common sense or even a little bit of critical thinking, these facts will support that what we are being fed is horse hockey. Let's start with a safe part of safe and effective, quote-unquote. The CDC has a system called VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Medical professionals are required to report adverse reactions to all vaccinations to the CDC. The CDC then verifies that information before it gets added to the VAERS database. That's why the numbers that I'm going to be giving you here shortly are probably a few weeks old. Because as the reports come in, they have to be authenticated before they will add them to the database. Now let's take a walk through the numbers in VAERS regarding the COVID jab. Numbers are most current as of December 24th when I wrote this podcast. It's taken me a while to get it out. I let the holidays get in the way, and then I've been fighting a head cold. But the VAERS numbers update every Friday, but the numbers may be way behind the number of reports received, again, as the reports have to be verified by CDC before being added to the database. All right, you ready to go down the rabbit hole? Here we go. Globally, worldwide, there have been 1,229 adverse events reported to the CDC regarding all COVID-19 jabs. That's whether it comes from Johnson & Johnson or Janssen, as it's called in Europe, Moderna, or Pfizer, and then they have one fourth category that is unknown manufacturer. Don't ask me. Okay? Out of those 1,229,000, 110,609 have been hospitalized. That's 11%. Out of those 1,229,000, 35,650 people are suffering permanent damage to their bodies because of these vaccines. 23,891 have had life-threatening adverse reactions. And 21,002 people have died from the vaccine. Now, in the United States alone, we have had 70% of all adverse events reported from the COVID shots have occurred in the United States. 709,084 out of 1,229,000. 45,960 people have been hospitalized because of this vaccine. 11,255 people have been permanently disabled because of this vaccine. Shot. I shouldn't even call it a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. 10,951 people have had life-threatening reactions, and we've had 9,623 people in the United States die from these COVID shots. So the numbers do not support the safe part of safe and effective. On the contrary, these COVID shots account for over half of all adverse events reported to VAERS since the creation of VAERS than all other vaccines combined put together. Safe? Bullshit. If we had the real numbers of people that have received the jab, we'd probably find that the jab has injured a higher percent of people than COVID itself. But we don't have the true numbers, as they are inflated to try and impress upon skeptics their safety, just as the deaths, quote, from COVID, unquote, are inflated to try and prove its lethality. It's a shame that most people do more research before buying a used car than they will before getting an untested and unproven concoction of chemicals injected into their bodies. All right. Pfizer documents themselves, in case you didn't know, I forget the name of the group, but they had filed a Freedom of Information request to Pfizer, to the FDA, to release all of Pfizer's documentation for the studies into the safety and efficacy of these shots. And the FDA came out and asked the court to give them 55 years. They didn't want to release that information until 2076. The court said, no, you're going to have to give out X number of pages per month. It would have taken them 55 years to get through the entire, I forget how many hundreds and thousands of pages there are. So then they went back and tried to get a 75-year stay on having to release this information. And another judge came out and said, no, you got 8 months to release it all. So that's another reason this podcast is delayed in coming out, because as I wrote it, man, more and more stuff just keeps coming out every day. It's not making the mainstream news. They don't want to put it out. They're still trying to push the safety and efficacy of these shots. But the Pfizer documents themselves, the ones that were initially released, reveal that between December 1st, 2020, and February 28th, 2021, not even 90 days before the big rollout of the vaccines, these shots, Pfizer received about 160,000 adverse event reports and 1,223 deaths in 90 days. People, that's almost 15 people per day dying because of these shots. They knew this shot is not safe, and still to this day, there's still a big push to get a needle into every body. In their own documents, they nullified the trials about 3 weeks in, because they had the one group that was getting placebo shots. Well, about 3 weeks in, they offered the real shot to the control group. So you just nullified your control group. Who conducted and oversaw the trials? Pfizer. That's like asking a police department to do their own internal investigation on a police shooting. It should be an impartial third party. You know, you talk about a conflict of interest. They controlled the trials. They controlled the data that was logged. They controlled what data was released. And another factor most people are unaware of is that the CDC and FDA, just like the IRS and the Federal Reserve, they're not government entities. They're private industry. Now, effective? No, and that is by the admission of the false authorities themselves. And I say false authorities because who the hell made Fauci, I'm going to call him Fauci, the expert? What about all these other doctors that are coming forth and saying, whoa, 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 this is nonsense, early intervention, you know, we could have avoided all these deaths, period. they're being silenced. They're losing their licenses to practice medicine because they're speaking out against the narrative. I'm sorry, I did not ask Dr. Fauschenstein to be my physician. I don't know about you, but I have lost all faith in our government and our medical system. If I could find a good old country family doc that's not associated with any medical corporation, no large medical administration company or insurance company, I would be going to family hometown doc that is going to treat the patient. Anyway, the shortened memory of the unfortunate majority of this population baffles me. When those shots were first ruled out, first jab, 2 weeks later, second jab, and you won't catch or transmit COVID. Now we're up to one booster, and even then, people are still catching COVID. By their own admission, that is the CDC, FDA, and all the so-called health experts, quote, fully vaccinated, unquote, can still transmit COVID. As a matter of fact, those people can carry the same or higher viral load as the unvaccinated. Not my words, not my opinion, their own admission. So now, Fauci, Zikail, is talking a fourth jab. Quote, the shots do not protect you, so the answer is more shots, unquote. What the fuck, over? And people buy into this logic? Have they dumbed down the population that much? Off to the numbers, the data again. According to www.ourworldindata.com, in the United States alone, between January 2020 and December 2021, we have had a 1.5 million percent increase in COVID shots administered and a 70% increase in COVID deaths. Now, take a country like Africa with a much lower vaccination rate, less than 1% between February 2020 and December 2021, and they have had an even lower incidence of COVID cases relative to the COVID shots. These are not the only contradictory examples. It does not take a rocket scientist to see the correlation between an increase in vaccination rates and an increase in COVID cases. Here's another point I want you to pay close attention to. Earlier in this pandemic, the number of deaths was a running ticker on the bottom of every screen on every news channel. Where did it go? Now they rarely show the number of new cases, yet they're still trying to push everyone to take the shot. A study out of Europe shown that an individual with a single dose is 1.5 times as likely to contract Omicron as the unvaccinated. Second dose, 2.3 times. First booster, 4.2 times. That's a 420% increase in the chance of catching Omicron than somebody who has never had shot one. So the unvaxxed, yet again, stand a better chance than the vaxxed. I don't have the time nor the training and statistics to crunch the numbers to see if the numbers of new cases, quote-unquote, plus the number of people vaxxed exceeds the population for the area being examined. In other words, well, let me make this next statement. We're being told that most of these new cases are unvaxxed people. Okay, well, pretty soon you're going to run out of unvaxxed people getting new cases of COVID. So who's blowing up what numbers now? Do the numbers of new cases exceed the available number of unvaxxed people? Is that making sense? I honestly don't believe we will ever know the truth. The CDC has skewed the numbers so badly, we'll never know the truth. You want to get the shot, or you got the shot, hey, that's your choice. How many people will do more research on a new or used vehicle than they will, or did do, before getting an experimental concoction of chemicals experimented into their bodies? I've heard it asked, since so many doctors support and recommend getting the vaccine, how could it be bad? Well, I have to answer with, well, if so many people drank Jim Jones Kool-Aid, does that make it right? To quote Booker T. Washington, a lie does not become truth, wrong does not become right, and evil does not become good just because it is accepted by the majority. I personally know of more people that have contracted COVID since the boosters were put in motion than before any vaccines at all. More studies are coming out every day, and this is coming out of the UK, Israel. Excuse me. People crunching numbers, statisticians, people that are more math savvy than me. Come on, I dropped out of algebra in high school. Of course, I had to learn trig real quick once I joined the Navy, but that's beside the point. Statistics, if it's not percentages, forget it. You're going to lose me. But the numbers do not support the safe and effective. But you're not hearing the numbers across the mainstream media. You're not hearing the numbers from our politicians. They're still, even the ones that are anti-mandate are still encouraging people to get this clot shot. 1 in 9 kids getting this shot is developing myocarditis. If you pull the numbers out of VAERS, cases of myocarditis, and the whole history of VAERS, practically non-existent until 2021. And then there is, I'm guessing here, about a 10,000% increase in cases of myocarditis. The only thing that changed in 2021 is this clot shot. So, your choice, your decision. If you've not had any of the shots, I beg you, please do your research first. My personal thinking, my personal feeling, everybody in the world has been exposed to COVID by now. If you don't know, there are numerous strains of coronaviridae out there, coronaviruses. That is a family of viruses, okay? 7 of those viruses are known to infect the human body. There's a coronavirus specific to dogs. There's but 7 of them can infect the human body. Over 30% of all colds and influenza cases every year are caused by a coronavirus. These tests that are showing people have COVID, okay, these tests, to the best of my knowledge, are not differential. It can't tell the difference between MERS, Mideast Respiratory Syndrome, which is a type of coronavirus, from the coronavirus that causes the common cold. It cannot differentiate. All it comes back and says, yep, there's a coronavirus in here. So you are now labeled as COVID-19 positive, even though you just got a common cold. It has nothing to do with this genetically altered virus that was released upon the world. And if you don't believe that this was man-made, then you go ahead and keep drinking the Kool-Aid. There's too much evidence to support this being a man-made, chimerically altered virus. Again, to quote, paraphrase Dave Von Kleist from the Power Hour in his video about 9/11 called In Plain Sight, Plain, P-L-A-N-E. You can still find it on YouTube, where he's discussing the term conspiracy theory. I'm not going to get into the history of it, but the term conspiracy theory is younger than I am. But he says, in theory, I could win the lottery. If I never buy a ticket, then it remains just that, a theory. But the minute I buy one ticket, just one ticket, no matter how many other people, millions of people, buy a ticket, it is no longer a theory. It becomes a possibility. And the more and more tickets I buy, the more and more it goes from being a possibility to a probability. Well, the same thing holds true with conspiracy theory. The minute I find one shred of evidence, it is no longer a theory. It's a conspiracy possibility. The more and more pieces of evidence I find and put together, the more and more it goes from being a conspiracy possibility to a conspiracy probability. With that, I hope everyone has a good New Year. I hope your resolutions you are able to hold on to. I have switched my training from preparing for the stage to, let's just say, being more martially fit. Enough for now. Until next time, God bless. Be safe, stay frosty, watch your six.